This is Solve It for Kids.
Hello, my amazing and curious friends. My name is Jennifer, and this is Solve It for Kids, the podcast that gives kids and families a peek inside the real world of scientists, engineers, and experts as they solve problems in their jobs using creativity, cooperation, and critical thinking. And now please welcome to the show my podcast partner, galactic space geek, Jeff Gagne.
Hello, Jennifer. I am very happy to be here today because we have a special guest on who has one of those job titles I've always wanted to learn more about, and I bet a lot of us don't really know what they do, so today we get to find out.
Well, now I'm very curious. What problem are we solving today?
How do structures stand up?
How do structures stand up? Do we have an engineer today, Jeff? Who is our guest?
I knew you'd be happy about it, Jennifer. We do have an engineer. It is Danielle Schroeder, and she is an award-winning civil engineer, mentor, and STEM outreach champion.
Well, this is awesome. Welcome to the show, Danielle.
Thank you for having me, Jennifer and Jeff. I'm so excited to be here.
We're thrilled, and I'm excited because we have another engineer on the show. Yay! So tell us, what kind of engineer are you, Danielle?
Yes, I am a civil engineer by degree.
And that was what I was talking about in the intro. What's a civil engineer?
Yes. So generally speaking, civil engineering deals with the design, construction, and maintenance of infrastructure. So infrastructure can be our roads, our buildings, bridges, sports stadiums, and even our drinking water supply.
Oh.
When you think of engineering, I mean, clearly bridges, right? But water supply, and then I was like, ooh, sports complexes, right? All of those are amazing things. So is there one particular area that you work on?
Yeah, so I primarily work on bridges, which are horizontal structures. But as part of a bridge, working on bridges, I also work with a lot of transportation engineers that work on the highway and traffic of the projects that I'm working on.
Okay, that is very cool. And I loved how you just mentioned that a bridge is a horizontal structure. Is that one of the, is that sort of engineering lingo that other engineers would understand? Building engineers are vertical structure people. Is that a thing in the engineering world?
Yeah, I think that's usually, I like to specify that I work on horizontal structures because I leave the vertical structures, primarily buildings and other structures, to other fellow structural engineers that you usually either specialize in one of those two, or there are some other places and other structures you can work on, like we already talked about the sports stadiums, but there's also structural engineers that are working on things like roller coasters, which I think is really cool.
Oh, now that would be fun. Now, I don't like roller coasters, but I think it'd be cool to build one, right? And then Jeff, you could ride it if you're a roller coaster person.
I will ride it, absolutely.
So, okay, your question is that you, probably something that you solve every day is how do structures stand up? So if you are working on a bridge, I don't even know where you start with that. Do you start with the base making it solid? And how does that work?
That is a great question, Jennifer. And you kind of already started to answer it. How structures stay up, one of the most important parts is that bottom or the foundation. If we're talking either both horizontal or vertical structures, that foundation is very important to making a skyscraper as tall as it can be. Some of those complex shapes that you see now that are really cool, but also bridges have a important foundation to them so that you can build the bridges that you would like, and especially long span bridges over bodies of water or over other roads or other things.
Okay. So since you specialize in bridges, I have a question. How do engineers decide what kind of bridge is going to get built over, say, a highway or a river or something like the Golden Gate Bridge?
Yeah. So one of the things that primarily dictates how we decide what type of bridge really depends on the span and what you're kind of going over. So Golden Gate Bridge, for example, I don't know off the top of my head, but I know that that is a very long span bridge over a body of water. So okay. Most of that is most likely steel, because longer spans usually mean you need to use a steel, primarily a steel bridge. For okay. some of the smaller bridges, generally speaking, if it's a shorter span, you can usually do things like concrete beams in terms of bridges. And a lot of the bridges I work on, I do get to work on some cool ones like the Golden Gate, but a lot of the ones I work on are like highway bridges where you may be on the highway and not even realize you're going over a bridge.
And some of those are like eco-friendly too, from what I understand, because I know like here where I live in Florida, that they like to tell us this, right? That they're building over swamps, but they're place, I think what they're doing, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, they're placing the bases in like specific places as to not affect the environment. Is that what that means?
Yes. So a little bit out of my wheelhouse, but something that is important to talk about when we're talking about engineers is whenever we're doing projects, we're working with a bunch of different engineers. So the problem that you're talking about right then is probably something that an environmental engineer or water resources engineer is helping us with. But yes, if we are going over a swamp or going over an existing stream, there's things like we need to keep the hydraulic opening the same of what's there before, because if anyone's taken maybe like a garden hose and had water going through it, and then you squished the garden hose and how that affects the rate of the water, things like that could happen. So that's somewhat of the way of equivocating it to what you would be talking about in Florida.
No, that's a great analogy. I get that. And so, and that would affect the environment too, right? Mm-hmm. So if you guys like affected the water flow of the water, then you're affecting the ecosystem, the plants, the animals, everything that lives there.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, good for that.
Yeah.
I'm glad they're doing that.
So before we get too far into bridges, I have to ask, how did you pick bridges as when you started talking about civil engineers covering so many different things? What was it about bridges and horizontal structures that got you?
For folks that are unfamiliar, studying to become a civil engineer, I studied civil engineering in college. And going into college, okay. I knew I wanted to do civil engineering. I really enjoyed the construction okay. side of things. I'm fascinated. But beyond that, I'll be quite honest, I didn't know what I wanted to do yet. I didn't know exactly okay. I wanted to do bridges. So I kind of learned it through classes and kind of enjoyed those classes more than any of the other classes I took during school. And okay. then I also did some internships while I was in college where I got to use what I was studying in the classroom and apply it real time to be like, oh, this is really cool.
Internships are great.
They are. You learn so much. Okay, so now I know a little bit about building bridges because I read a book about it. But again, I just did research. So when you're building a bridge, and let's go back to the base, what do you do? Because there's different materials. How do you figure out what material to use for the bridge based on whether it's sandy or whether it's rocky, all that kind of stuff?
So that is a great question to bring in another type of engineers that we work with, which are geotechnical engineers. Oh. So there are, within the umbrella of civil engineering, there are specific engineers that are geotechnical engineers that more specialize in soils, because there are so many different soils that you'll find out there.
Yes.
And some of them that make it easier to build a foundation on, and some of them that don't.
So you work together as a group to figure out, if you're going to go up and say, okay, we have to build this bridge, it sounds like you bring in all these different kinds of engineers, and you talk and you figure out the materials and then also the height. Doesn't that matter too?
Yes. One of the projects I've worked on, I didn't build the Burlington Bristol Bridge, but because that bridge, I believe, is like 90 years old. But I did work on a project to extend the life of that bridge. And that bridge is a vertical lift bridge, or the center span kind of moves up and down like an elevator. What you were just talking about, that height is important, because if it's a body of water that it's going over, it needs to be able to have a height that ships can go underneath it. So in our case, it's a movable lift one, so that it can move up when ships need to go underneath it, as opposed to building it that high and using a lot more materials than you really need it to in that case.
Right. Oh,
sure.
Well, cool.
That brings me back to my childhood in Massachusetts. Cape Cod, that arm-looking, muscly thing that kind of sticks off of Massachusetts on a map, is actually not connected to Massachusetts by land. There is a waterway that goes through, and there are two bridges that go over that waterway. And as you were just describing, both of those bridges are the higher bridges that are full material. They don't move. And I always used to love driving over those bridges. I just want to ask, what is the favorite bridge project that you have worked on so far?
So it probably is the Burlington Bristol Bridge, primarily because it is one of those iconic bridges around where I'm from, so in the Philadelphia area. But it was really cool to see both the design. So I worked on the design of it and then the construction part of it, and being able to go out in the field and physically see the difference I made and seeing what I designed come to life in the field, which is a really cool feeling.
That's amazing. I think it's so cool to watch bridges being built. Here in Florida, they're working on them all the time. So I have a question for you about that, because you said you worked on the refurbishment or whatever?
Yes, the retrofit of the Burlington Bristol.
So what does that mean? What can you do to a bridge that's already standing? How can you help fix it or keep it longer?
Yes, so that is a great question. So what we try to do for some bridges, if we can, is a retrofit. So a retrofit is seeing if there's problem areas and if we can correct those problem areas to extend the life of the bridge rather than demolishing the entire bridge, rerouting traffic, other things that come into that, if we can just extend it. The other way I like to equivocate it is, or example, is if you had a pair of pants and you got a small hole in the side of your jeans or something like that.
Right.
You just patch up that little piece of the jeans. You're not going to throw out the entire jeans and do that. So it's that kind of similar thing of what we try to do in terms of retrofits to extend the life of bridges as much as we can.
Very cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
So how many different bridges are you working on at any one time? Do you do it one at a time until a project is completed? Or do you have sort of a file of, okay, these are my five projects right now, and they're all in different stages of the project?
Yeah, that is a good question, Jeff. I'd say like at one time, it's probably about six or seven that I'm working on. But as you're talking about, they vary on size. They vary on where they are in the design phase.
Right.
It's really specific to what we do. There is a part called TSNL, type, size, and location, where you're really just focused on what type of bridge are we going to put there? Approximately what size are we going to put there? And then the location, which is usually that one's kind of already decided more or less before we get into the project.
Okay.
So I'm curious, as a kid, did you like bridges? Did you like building things, you know, out of Legos or blocks or whatever? Is this kind of what took you there? Or did you really just say, hey, in college, which is totally fine, by the way, hey, this is what I want to do?
Yeah. Let's start all the way back at home, because my civil engineering story literally starts at home. My dad is a carpenter and literally built the house that I grew up in. So I've been,
it's cool.
Yeah. No, I don't think many people can say that. So I've been around the construction process my entire life. And especially when I was little, you know, we'd drive around the city and my dad'd be like, oh, I worked on that building. Oh, I worked on that project. Oh, I worked on that. So now I get to do that now with bridges, which is really cool. But beyond the construction side of things, when I was growing up, yes, I definitely played with Legos and I loved Legos. And then going through school, math and science were my favorite classes. And I always like to say, I think you've talked to a few engineers already. Engineers are natural problem solvers, all that comes into it. So I like to talk about Cam Jansen and Encyclopedia Brown, those like mystery novels. I absolutely love those.
Nice.
I loved those growing up. So it's kind of that problem solving that was in reading part of it that kind of also went into it. So I think the combination of the love of construction and the math and science and problem solving, marrying those together, civil engineering was just the perfect career for me.
That's awesome.
Every once in a while, it's not every episode, but every once in a while, I really wish this was a video podcast. Listeners, I wish you guys could see the look on Danielle's face when she describes the building process and then the effect that she gets to go out and see of having worked on this or that. You can tell she is so excited.
Yes.
So now I need to ask, I already asked what you are working on. Do you have like an ideal bridge project? Like, is there a bridge that's out there that's your favorite you would love to work on? Or is there a span somewhere that needs a bridge in the future that you want to be the one?
We can help you get a job.
Yeah.
Not in a specific, a dream bridge comes to mind, but similar to the Burlington Bristol, I would love to work on a design of a movable bridge from scratch, like being that new design. Okay. I feel like that's just its own challenge. I feel like in that case, again, civil engineers usually work on the main structures, and generally speaking, our structures aren't made to move. I mean, so we would also be bringing in different other engineers. I think like mechanical and electrical would be part of that project. So I think it's just a really cool, if it was a dream bridge, it'd be a movable bridge because we'd bring in so many different engineers and folks to the table to bring that to fruition, which is really cool.
That sounds fun. So I know engineering has a lot of math in it. So I'm assuming you have to do a lot of calculations with bridges. You don't just kind of go, oh, hey, we think we want it this high, right? Can you talk a little bit about the math that you would have to do for some of this stuff?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that come into it in terms of sizing that we go into, of how long and how tall, how hefty we need different sizes of beams, our piers, which are some of our supports. The main thing that we have to focus on in terms of loads of bridges is the loads that are going over the bridge. So pedestrians, vehicles, and usually in our case, we use permit vehicles, or like, you know, you think of those like large tractor trailers and those going over our bridges. So we have a lot of softwares that we use that help us go through a bunch of different designs and say, okay, here's, you know, a certain amount of tractor trailers going over the bridge at the same time. That's probably the maximum load it's going to see. So we get to design, see how that works, test it out in the software, and then reiterate or continue to test it to see when we have the adequate sizing, heights, all of those geometry parts of our bridge so that it's tested before it is actually constructed.
Do you ever get to make little cool models? Because I'm just imagining this would be so much fun, right? Play with the models.
My question.
Not usually. I don't usually make any more physical models. I think I did a few when I was in college that we made some more physical real ones.
Right.
But we do have some really cool 3D modeling programs that we use now that you can kind of see how things are, you know, move it in the virtual space to be able to see how it interacts with things that are around there, or be able to do, I know there's folks that are more on the survey side that do like 3D laser scanning. So if we're really close to something else or anything of that, like anything that's surrounding, we can like scan things like that and kind of see what location and what we have in terms of rooms to build the bridge. Like if we're pretty close to something, how close are we to, you know, the building that already exists over on the right side of the roadway?
That sounds very cool. So now I have a question about the 3D modeling software, since you're not building too many physical models with, you know, toothpicks and popsicle sticks anymore. In that 3D modeling software, where you said you could move it around, does it allow you to test loads? So like to see whether or not your bridge would fail?
Yes. I know for folks, I think there is a bridge software that's accessible that folks can play with and do a truss bridge that I think it's West Point Bridge has for folks. It has like a free way of doing it. And that's just like truss bridges and it shows a really large truck going. But yes, the softwares that we use can do a different bunch of loads or load combinations that we do in terms of mainly talking about vehicular traffic trailers and all of those kind of things. But you can also add different things to it based on what kind of bridge it is. We kind of talked about it specifically about cars and stuff, but there are specific bridges that are just for people to go over, and that's a pedestrian bridge. So we are able to work with that software and put in the specifics that we need for that bridge. We're not going to test a pedestrian bridge for, you know, a tractor trailer going over it when a tractor trailer wouldn't even fit on it kind of thing. So
I think that's pretty amazing, all of the different things that you have to pull together to do all of this thing, and how you said that engineers solve problems and they approach things that way. So what are some of like the problems you've had to solve with bridges? Have you ever been called in because it's like, oh, we're having problems with this bridge or whatever? Can you tell us about any of those?
Yeah, I think it's kind of similar to what you were talking about in terms of Florida, but one of the bridges that I've been working on, there's a trail going underneath it. And with that, we wanted a specific clearance so that, not that the bridge is going to be the same height as a person, but you want a specific clearance under a bridge for folks to go underneath it. So we had to work with solving the problem of how can we minimize the size of our beams so that we can maximize the size of clearance underneath.
Okay.
So things like that, that kind of go into the process of iterations or many, many test designs, does it work kind of thing that we go through.
That sounds very cool.
Yeah.
I feel like I use this analogy a lot, but it really is like solving a puzzle. Like you, what was the location size?
What were those? Size and location. So
there
TS
you
and
go.
L. Yeah.
It sounds like you start with a blank sheet of paper and it's like, okay, well, here's where we're starting. This is what we need a bridge for. Is it for people? Is it for cars or trucks? Is it for both? So it sounds a lot like there's no chance that you're ever going to get bored because there are so many different kinds of bridges, so many different locations. And like you were saying, with the geotechnical, all of the different soils, all of the bridges are going to be touching the earth in different ways. I've never asked this question. Have you ever gotten bored yet in your job? I can't imagine.
No, I have not, because similar to what you just said, there's so many different bridges. In the U.S. specifically, there are approximately 617,000 bridges.
Oh my gosh, really?
Yes, there are approximately 617,000.
And that's just in America?
In America, yes. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So I will never be bored. There's definitely plenty of different bridges that already exist. So a lot of what I am doing is, you know, retrofits or things like that, or extending existing bridges. But that part of it is pretty awesome. And there's so many things that go into a bridge that definitely keep me on my toes and learning more every time. I know you've talked about material science in the past, but there's new innovations that are happening in material science. We use concrete, we use steel, but there's innovations that are going on in those fields to make concrete stronger, last longer.
Right.
There's even like self-healing concrete. I don't know too much about it, but it's got like, if it concrete spalls or like breaks off, kind of like if you think like a cake kind of crumbles off, they're incorporating like microbes into concrete that can kind of almost heal itself. And like, I think that's really cool. I haven't gotten to use it yet, but like it's cool innovations in there. So there's so many things that keep my job entertaining, and I'm definitely
that
not
really
bored.
Is cool.
That's very cool. So tell us a little bit about the STEM outreach that you do too, because I'm excited to hear how you work with kids and so forth.
Yeah, kind of going back to my, as I like to say, my civil engineering origin story. I didn't put those two things together until my junior year of high school, because I hadn't heard the term engineering until that third year of high school.
Wow.
But like everything, like the stars aligned kind of thing of having that, because I love the math and science. I love the problem solving. Dad was a carpenter, built the house I grew up in, but no one ever was like, hey, take all those things together and you should be an engineer until that year. And I went to a engineering camp for girls and went there, met current students studying civil engineering, current professionals in a variety of engineering disciplines, and realized this was the perfect career for me. So keeping that in mind, I kind of want it to be the change that I wanted to see. Mm-hmm. And I am very passionate about STEM outreach, especially to as young as kindergarten, to tell them what engineering in general is so that they know what the word is, you know, earlier than I did, and just showing them how cool of a career it can be. You're a professional problem solver, regardless of what engineering discipline you pick. So clearly I'm biased in terms of civil engineering, but I do try to tell them about all of engineering, all of STEM, and all that the awesome careers that there can be in that field.
That's fantastic.
Very cool. That sounds awesome. So listeners, go follow Danielle and check out her STEM outreach as well. Before we get to your challenge, which I'm excited to learn about, you said something just a moment ago. As you were describing, there's no way to be bored in your job, and you notice things on bridges. I would like to know, before you get to your challenge for our listeners, is there something that you would like our listeners to notice on a bridge the next time they go over one?
Now, Jeff, that's a really good question. I think, going back to things, we kind of talked about this a little bit earlier in terms of being specifically on a highway and not even realizing you're going over a bridge. I think maybe listeners taking more attention and realizing all that goes into the bridge. So especially it's a lot easier when you're the road underneath the bridge and being
yes,
able to,
sure.
if you're not driving, especially I think most of the people listening are not of driving age yet, but when you're going under a bridge like that, be sure to look up and look at all the things that are there. Hmm. You'll see like concrete beams. You'll see the abutments, like you'll see that, or piers, depending on how long of a span it is. But there's so many pieces
okay.
that are put together that make that full bridge. So kind of take it all in and kind of see how those things connect, kind of going back to the Legos.
Right.
To make a huge, right. cool structure, it's a lot of little Lego pieces put together. So yeah. I guess have the listeners to appreciate all that goes into that bridge structure that we cross all the time.
That's wonderful.
Yes. So now tell us what your challenge is for our listeners. We're excited to hear this.
Yes. Okay. So the activity is called Slender Tower Challenge. So okay. we've talked about structural engineering. We've talked about civil engineering, but right now we're going to focus mainly on skyscrapers. With advances in technology and materials, we're able to design skyscrapers that are larger than ever before. However, cities are already filled with lots of buildings and have limited space to build these skyscrapers. So sure. primarily, we're building up instead of out.
Right. Yes.
Hence the slenderness of most skyscrapers.
Yes.
Okay.
So for the challenge I have for you all today, you are going to need 10 sheets of paper, scrap paper, okay. especially if you have scrap paper, scissors, okay. and a roll of tape. And you're going to use those materials to build the tallest tower you can with the smallest footprint you can. And when I say footprint, I mean the bottom of your structure and that interaction of the bottom of the structure with your table or your floor or whatever is going to be on right. the bottom of it. So we kind of talked about geotechnical engineers and how important foundations are. That footprint is going to be very important to that structure and how tall you can make that structure. When I like to think about it, when you stand on your 2 feet and you stand nice and tall, how easy is it to balance?
Yes.
Pretty very. Easy?
Pretty okay. easy, yes.
How about changing that to only standing on one of your feet and trying to balance?
Yes, it's much more difficult.
Much harder.
Much more yes. difficult. So skyscrapers kind of work in that same way. Having a larger base generally firmly attached to the earth helps support those buildings. So having that good foundation is important, especially when structures are pushed around by wind, storms, and even earthquakes.
Yes.
All our nature, yes. nature loads. So the more stable your base is, the taller that tower can actually be without toppling under the load. And then the extra challenge, if that's okay.
Sure.
Please.
Once you have a working structure, I want to challenge you to kind of go through that engineering design process. And once you've tested it and gotten it to work, I want you to see if you can try it again with the goal of either making the structure taller with the same 10 sheets of paper or making it the same height, but reducing the footprint. So making that Ooh, footprint even smaller.
Okay.
Now that would be hard to do, I think. Yes. We might have to try that, Jeff, individually. That would be fun.
And show our listeners on our social media what our results are.
That would
love
be fun.
The bonus extra challenge of
yes.
after you do it once, do it again and do it better. Because then you'll be working just like Danielle as a civil engineer.
As an engineer. That's what engineers do. Well, this has been a fabulous conversation. Thanks so much for being on Solve for Kids today, Danielle.
Thanks, Danielle.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Wow, we really could have talked to her for a whole lot longer about bridges and everything she is doing. She was so excited about being an engineer. What a great conversation, Jen.
Oh, it was fabulous. And, you know, I've always thought bridges are really cool. So
who hasn't?
I know, right? So having her on the show was really amazing to kind of see how they're actually built and all of the cool things she gets to do. So everybody who listens, make sure you go to our website, solveforkids.com, and see a lot of the cool pictures that Danielle's going to send us so you can learn more about her and how bridges are built.
Including, we're pretty sure, Danielle is going to send us the picture of her doing her own challenge. of building that tower, that skinny tower, with 10 sheets of paper, and we want to see you doing yours as well, so be sure to share those with us on our social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, @KidSolve. Until our next episode of
Solve It for Kids!